So to talk about the Yom Ha'Ra'im in half an hour is almost impossible. So I just picked down a couple of things in particular that have to do with the meal of Rosh Hashanah. The minhag is that on Rosh Hashanah night, after we have done the shul, we come home and we wish each other a good year. And Rosh Hashanah Tovah Tikasev. The Musaf today has become nice and long. Shalom Tovah Tikasev is Chosim out of Chaim Tovah Tikasev. The Vilna Gaon is actually against this Musaf because he says there's no Chasim on Rosh Hashanah. The Chasim takes place on Yom Kippur. Only for those who are Tzadikim Gemurim or Rosh Hashanah Gemurim is there Chasim. So the Rambam says a person should look at himself as a Beinoni and that he has the possibility of Tshuva over the next 10 days. So he actually looks at it. So the Rambam actually looks at it as a, negative thing if a person were to wish a chasima to his friend. And the bias of the meaning has become that way, that people say the shalom tovah tikasev es chasim, there should be a ksiva and a chasima. The meaning also says I need to do it on the first night, not to do it the second night, even though yesh omrim that there's a different type of din of pikavolah, there's a din for the first day, there's a din for the second day, there's different, halachas for the dinim of the different angles of the din of the first and the second day, but lamais again, we do it on the first night and then from then onwards we wish everybody a good yom. Now, the tone that we introduce the year with is very important, that it has an effect on us and how we're going to continue the year. And therefore, obviously very important that a person is careful, that when yom tov comes in, he don't get angry, get home and greet your family with the seven upon the office, the time to engender warmth and care and love to your family and not to get angry. Chas v'shalom, it shouldn't be a sin for the whole year. We are told that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tov, and not only that, we are certain in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rachamim, and therefore we approach Rosh Hashanah with awe and with trepidation for the din, but on the other hand, we also celebrate that it is a Yom Tov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us another year of life, and therefore for Rosh Hashanah we wear Yom Tov clothing, and we have proper Siddur Yom Tov. We don't have Siddur Shlishi because it's Yom Tov, it's not Shabbos, but we have to have two meals for Rosh Hashanah, and the meals have to be Yom Tov meals, which means that just like Yom Tov, you're going to have Bosa B'Yayin, so Rosh Hashanah also doesn't give you to have Bosa B'Yayin. There is an opinion that since if a person wanted, he could fast on Rosh Hashanah, so therefore it could be that Rosh Hashanah is a level lower than regular Yom Tov, and you don't have to go all out like you do on Yom Tov. Other meaning is to treat Rosh Hashanah like a Yom Tov, and you make proper Yom Tov meals with all
but
the...
Rabbi Zalfa said that on Rosh Hashanah you should wear Shabbos clothes and not new Yom Tov clothes. I don't remember what the reason was.
Probably because the speciality of Yom Tov clothes is given Shalosh Regalim. As much as Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tov, it's Yom Tov in the fact that you've got to treat it like Yom Tov, but it's not one of the Shalosh Regalim, and therefore doesn't have the speciality of having, because Yom Tov on the Shalosh Regalim, it says if you have new, there's an inyan of Simcha, the Samachta B'Chagecha, and part of the simcha is to have new clothing, as well as it's brought down that one's Yom Tov clothing should be of a higher quality than Shabbos clothing. So that is because it's part of the Shalosh Regalim, whereas Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tov, but it's not part of the three Shalosh Regalim. It's brought down also in the name of the Marshal, Shlomo Luria, one of the very early Chronim, contemporary of the Ramal of the 16th century, that he did not eat fish on Rosh Hashanah. We'll see that there's an Indian to eat fish, but he personally didn't eat fish, and it says the reason was because he particularly enjoyed fish. And he said he wanted to have a Yom Tov meal, but take it one step down and not have his most favorite dish, because at the end of the day, it is a day of awe and din, and therefore he didn't want to go all out. The Swarim wants to say that the meal should be a more serious meal than one usually has on the Yom Tov. One should keep in mind the severity of the day when one eats. One should use the time for having a comedy session of jokes, Swarim Batalim, Kalas Rosh, and those type of things. But rather, talk at the table like you normally do and make people comfortable, but remember that it is Yom Tov, it's special Yom Tov, and that we should take it accordingly. Me'ikah Adin, one should not fast on Rosh Hashanah, just like we don't fast on Shabbos, we don't fast on Yom Tov. And just like on Shabbos, if a person had a bad dream, there are certain instances where we say that it's permissible for a person to fast on Shabbos because of a bad dream, so that would apply to Rosh Hashanah as well. However, someone who feels that for the sake of kapara, for the sake of attaining a level that is appropriate to the Yomim Noraim, he wants to fast on Rosh Hashanah, we will allow him to fast. Unlike where on Shabbos and Yom Tov it's an issur to fast, on Rosh Hashanah it's not. The person who does such a thing should take into mind Yotzei Sfarav Be'er Seidoi, that sometimes when one is stringent in one area, it causes a lack in another. And if a person is going to fast in Rosh Hashanah, it's going to end up that it's going to be in a bad mood and it's going to be upset. Obviously, there's no gain in fasting if one's behavior is not appropriate. Generally speaking, fasting is looked down upon as not a form, it's not an accepted form of tshuva because of the weakness of our dar. And in fact, the Gedolim have said that if it were not for the fact that it was Tzeres Chazal that we have to fast all the fasts that are written, they would abolish it because we could achieve so much more if we don't fast. Allah wanted us to fast, so we fast, and we suffer the consequences. But to add fasts onto the fast, it's only for Yechidim to know how to do that, that they can actually fast and retain a higher spiritual level during the day when they're hungry and stomach. But the nafkamina for this is, what does this do for us mortals who don't tend to work with us this way? And that is that if a person has an extended tefillah, and as a result, he goes past Chatzos without food, so that's not a problem. There is a shita of the Gra that is makpid on it, but generally speaking, the pasuk holds that because essentially fasting is allowed in Rosh Hashanah, so therefore you don't have the restriction like we have on Shabbos. Shabbos says that a person may not fast on Shabbos. He may not even fast what we call a ta'anis shois, a fast day that's just a couple of hours. The person says, I accept upon myself a fast for the next 4 hours. That is asur on Shabbos, even though he's going to eat before and he's going to eat after. But because he took it on for the sake of a fast, so that is asur on Shabbos. And also, to go the first half of the day until Chatzos without eating is also prohibited on Shabbos, even if he didn't explicitly say that he's doing it for the sake of fasting, but it happened by default, that also is wrong. One may not go so long on a Shabbos, because once a half day has passed, it already gets a shame on the Tanis, it already gets the significance of the Tanis, and therefore we say that it's also for a person to do that on Shabbos again. Whereas Rosh Hashanah, the din is different. And therefore, if you are in a shul where they don't make a kiddush before tkiyas, or if you are of the personal preference, then you don't want to rely on the kula of eating before tkiyas, and you want to not eat throughout the tefillah and only make kiddush when you're finished, and davening is going to end after Chatzos, that is not a problem on Rosh Hashanah. One may do such a thing without this restriction. When one makes Kiddush on Rosh Hashanah night, we have the Nusuk for Kiddush, and one also says Shechianu on the Yom Tov. Women who have the minhag to make Shechianu at the time of candle lighting, keep that minhag, it will make Shechianu on the candle lighting. If they then make Kiddush for themselves on Rosh Hashanah night, they would not repeat the Shechianu, because once you said it once, you don't say it again. If someone else is making it for them, so then there's a machlokes whether they should answer Amen or not, because it would be a hefsek. A lot of the pastors say it's fine, they can answer Amen to the Shechianu on the Kiddush, even if they make Shechianu on candles. Another din, that this is particular to Shabbos. In Shabbos, when you take the two chalas, you have Lecha Mishnah on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you need to take Lecha Mishnah. And on Shabbos, when you take Lecha Mishnah on Afghan on Friday night, on Shabbos morning, you cut the bottom challah, not the top one, you cut the lower one. This only applies on Friday night and not on Yom Tov. So every time you have two challahs for Lecha Mishnah, you always cut the top one, with the exception of Friday night. If Yom Tov falls on Shabbos, then you do like Shabbos, you would take the bottom one. And here again, we have another exception to the exception. And that is Seder night. Seder nights, when you take the matzahs, you take them the same every single year. you always take the top one and not the bottom one. When you put tzei on it, when you take it for a moitzi, that even on Friday night will not change. But otherwise, on a Friday night, you cut the lower challah, and every other time, whether it's Shabbos morning or Yom Tov, Yom Tov night, and today, you always cut the top one. There are those who are machmir to cut through both challahs. It's also brought down. And then there's brought down there many, many different minhagim that have evolved over the years, each person to his minhagim, what they've had, what they have, just a couple of points. Those who dip their challah in honey, it's a nice minhag. There are people that say yiratzon, you should be careful not to say the yiratzon until you've swallowed, because otherwise it will be a hefsek between the hamotzi and the eating. So if you're going to have honey on your challah and you're going to say the yiratzon, so then you should take a bite, swallow, say the yiratzon, and then continue eating and make sure that you eat the kazayis, because you're going to eat kazayis within Tanka de Achilas Pras. It's called up between 4 and 6 minutes, you're going to have your first kazayis. Not difficult. Because ice is not a large piece of. When it comes to matzahs, it's much more difficult. But when it comes to challah, it's very easy. One or two bites of an average size is already a kazayis. It's not hard, but just one has to be aware. Once one gets distracted, you stop after the first swallow. Say the yiratzon, then you start talking. The honey's so good this year, and it's so sweet, and so this, and so that. Challahs of raisins inside, and who knows what. And suddenly you forget, and you go 4 minutes of schmoozing, then you haven't had your kazayis taken to achilas pras. Have it there, but just remember, between Makai and the mitzvah of having your challah at your suda, you need to eat a kazayis of challah within a 4 minute period. People have a minute to eat a sweet apple that is dipped in honey. They say a sweet apple, which l'chayr would exclude the Granny Smith apples, which are not so sweet. And again, they say a yiratzon, which is printed in all the masorim, and again, not to say the ha'eitz. And then say the yiratzon and then eat. Either say the yiratzon first and then the ha'etz and then eat, or the ha'etz and eat, and after the first bite and swallow, then you say the yiratzon. Here you don't have to eat kazayis. It's not part, it's not a, the challah is an integral part to make your meals, you need to have kazayis. But all the other simonim, you can just have a taste. Even those simonim that you make a bracha on, you just have a taste, that's fine. If you're going to be having more fruits, so then you need to take into account the din of kedimos, that there's an order for what you make your bracha. So if you're going to be having shiva saminim, people have dates, people have pomegranates. So if you're going to be having that as part of your simonim, then you should make a bracha on your shiva saminim before you make it's not that you make two brachas, but the bracha you make, the ha'et, should be on the shiva saminim and not on the apple. And even when it comes to shiva saminim, the date comes first, because we know that it goes according to the order that it's written in the pasuk. Eretz chita osa'ira, ha'gefen ote'ein ha'verimoin, eretz ze'shemen u'dvash. The pasuk lists them in this order. Chita osa'ira, wheat, barley, gefen te'ein ha'verimoin is grapes, figs, and pomegranates. So pomegranate is the very last in this section. And then it says eretz the second time. Eretz, Zayis, Shemen, Udvash, olives and honey of dates. And we paskin that the Seder Hadvarim is that whatever's closer to the word Eretz comes first. So you see that olives is the first type after the word second Eretz, and Dvash of dates is the second word after the second Eretz. Whereas Rimoin is the fifth type after the first Eretz. So even though Rimon comes after the first Eretz, nevertheless, dates are closer to the second Eretz, and therefore the way we pass them is that dates have kedimus over pomegranates. So if you're going to be having pomegranates and dates, then the ha'et should be said on the dates, and not on the pomegranates, and not on the apples. An interesting point is what's brought down, why do we do simonim? So there's an interesting Chai Adam, and the Kutachov and the Chai, which is the Talmud is the Tzoypa. It based it on a Ramban, Parshas Lech Lecha. Ramban teaches us the din, the concept rather, that Maisa Obbas Simon Lebonim, that what the Obbas did has an effect on the way things will turn out for their descent. And he explains the concept, how does that work? What does it mean? What does it mean that the Obbas did something that's going to have an effect on what the children did? The way he explains it is that there's a potential that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put into the world. That potential will only come out into fulfillment if man makes the first start. And therefore, when certain things have to happen, the others made the first step, and then the flow continues for the rest of the generation. So we say the same thing is when we're going to have a year that's starting, because Rahu has prepared for us a lot of goodness for the upcoming year. And in order to allow this goodness to come out and to flow forwards, so we make the first step and do something which should be a symbol of goodness, and then it, so to speak, releases the supply, the reservoir of good that has been stored for us. That's how the Chayyim explains it. So we take something and we make a tefillah. This should be something sweet. We have a sweet year. This should be the head, the rosh, the lezana, she yichusu sameinu, she yichusu roseinu, etc., etc. That's where the Chayyim explains the meaning of simonim. A lot of simonim that are vegetables. On vegetables, generally speaking, we don't make a broth at a meal because it won't avoid matzah pas, lapis is a pas, and therefore they are considered like any other vegetables. You're going to have a meal, so if you're going to have kugelets made of kara or sort of various assorted carrots, tinnas or something like that, that's all part of the meal, even though you're going to be having it, some people have it at the beginning, they make a seder out of it. Nevertheless, it's most of us who hold that this is a din, that's all like regular vegetables in the meal, you don't make a bracha. Those who want to be machmir, except they don't take something which you mechuyev to make adama on, for example, you don't think it's a watermelon. So watermelon is a fruit, and fruit you don't make is not automatically included in your meal. You make bracha on fruit. It's a type of fruit that you make adama on. You make adama on watermelon, will cover all the adama that you're going to have later. But generally speaking, most people are not machmir on this. And the vegetables are eaten as if they're part of the meal. Some people go take the head of a lamb, or any head for that matter, if you count the whole of a lamb, any head, including fish. The lamb has the advantage of sheep, has the advantage that it's also zechel and Elish and Yitzchak, to the ram that was offered on the Akedah in place of Yitzchak, which is one of the big themes of Rosh Hashanah, to bring up these things and to remind the Kodesh Baruch Hu of the tzidkus of the others. Some people stamazai eat fish, if it's not for the head, they eat fish because fish are known to multiply. So we say shenifrim v'nivra kadogim. And many, everybody with his minhagim, the schools often give out pieces of paper, the machzorim have a list, everybody to themselves. There's an issue, they want to avoid nuts and those type of foods on Yom Noraim. A reason brought down is A, because the word egois has the same grammatical as hate, which actually the Boston brought down is actually not exactly, it's one hour. And another reason brought down is because these type of foods increase a person's saliva and phlegm, and therefore might interfere with the person's davening. So you want to avoid having these things at the time where traveling is such an important part of that, but it's a yo. Also, as a simon for a good year, one should avoid having sour foods. An example given is unripe grapes. If you're going to have grapes, only eat the ripe ones that are sweet, the unripe ones are sour. Some people don't have cranes, people don't have pickles. Any onion. It's not, obviously, you have a kid who's asking for something. A kid that's from a tantrum, you don't think it's straight, but it's awesome. It's any onion. The meals of Rosh Hashanah, as we said, are within the meals of Yom Tov, the one who you to have them, and therefore if you forgot to say Yad HaVi'avoi, you need to go back and repeat, just like any other time that you left Yad HaVi'avoi out. If you catch yourself after the bracha of Bodhi Yerushalayim, before you started the next bracha of Matav HaMeitiv, then you can add in a special bracha, get hold of an adventure or a siddur that has the problem with the sign or something. When it comes to Shachris, there's a big Indian to Dan Masikin and Rosh Hashanah. Part of it is from the fact that they say that sleeping on Rosh Hashanah is frowned upon, because they say someone who goes to sleep on Rosh Hashanah at the time of Din, so his mazel goes to sleep. If that's the case, the day starts with Alos HaShachar, so you should be getting up at Alos HaShachar so that you shouldn't be sleeping during the day. There are some who are makbid on this. Brisk Rav apparently would get up early on Rosh Hashanah before Alos HaShachar, even though he did not have the sleeping. And he told people, he says, how can you sleep when you're being judged? Just I can't sleep at such a time. One of us needs to be on his level. The mice of the minig is, with most people, is that you can sleep beyond Alos HaShachar, but to make a point to get up earlier than you would get up. Today is not a day for sleeping in. As we said, a long davening that causes people to fast is not a problem. The day meal, we do not have the simonim. The simonim are at night. Some do the second night, some not. Sleeping on Rosh Hashanah is, as I said, it's frowned upon. I'm not going to say it's also, it's frowned upon. I'm sure that a person is mazel sleep. But one has to know what the counter side is. If a person is going to spend the day playing board games or reading inappropriate material or going for a walk and doing nothing, then we say, Hayoshev Bato Piyoshevda. Someone who is doing nothing, he's not achieving anything, he might as well go to sleep. At least when a person sleeps, he doesn't talk to Ashmara. So obviously the day should be spent with more spiritual uplifting pursuits. And also, it's brought down the Ariza would sleep in the afternoon, Aram would sleep in the afternoon. But even the afternoon, after Chatzos, is less strict. So for those who feel the need, please push it off to after Chatzos. And of course, if a person feels exhausted and feels that he can't do anything, he can take a nap, and then you'll be able to learn something, to do something better. So then it's for a good purpose. And then you're going to say everyone has to weigh up and not just be thick-headed, as they say, and just do, I don't sleep, so what do you do? You do all sorts of silly things. No. If you can not sleep and use the day productively, fine, great, that's the best. But if you find that you can't, so the best to sleep and be productive afterwards. Some people have the minhag to finish the whole of Sefer Tehillim over Rosh Hashanah. Some people have to finish twice. Then we have another minhag that is known by everybody. It's called Tashlich. The minhag of Tashlich is done on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, after Mincha, before Shkia. It's going to be late, I'm going to manage it after Mincha, before Mincha. Essentially, Tashlich is a tefillah that is made up of one or two psukim, sois, and that is the whole of Tashlich. There are many inyanim brought down the Gabi Tashlich, like the crowning of a king was taken up, used to take place on the riverbanks, the side of a river. So that's why we go, and on the day that we make the Rosh Baruch our king, so we go to a body of water to do it. Water says Sivan Bracha, it's something that flows, it's life. There's various inyanim, but essentially the water is a minor addition to the minhag of Tashlich. And if there are problems that will arise from going to water, so then do it without water, which is almost impossible today to do. It's not impossible, just impossible to find a situation where there's no water. Because today every house has running water. You don't need to go to a water body that is in the ground and there's fish inside. You can go fill up your sink with water, you can fill up a cup of water. The minhag in old Yerushalayim was they used to go to the water system and open them and say Tashlich next to the water system, irrelevant to whether there was water inside or not. That was how we did in Kol Torah. We were told not to be to Yeshiva. Rosh Hashanah is not a time to go to the streets with mingling and boys and girls and all of this. So they opened up a manhole in the backyard and the whole yeshiva gathered at Tashlich over there. And then subsequently moved to Rav Noga's yeshiva. He told us also not to go out on Rosh Hashanah, not to go to the street. In fact, again, most people went to the very end of the Chomatis Gan with the water reservoirs, and we were specifically told not to go there. And instead, he said, open the faucet, open the tap by the sink next to the best rubbish. And we stood around the sink, and that's where we made our Tashlich. Apparently, Rav Shmuel Auerbach, that's how, would do something similar. He would fill a cup up, he wouldn't have to run, fill a cup up, and with a cup by the sink, that's where he would say his Tashlich. The person has to know, it's very nice to go to a river, it's very nice to go to various places, the Vilna Goyim didn't, the Chaim Volozhin didn't. The Chazanish, when he got older, didn't. They say that the Chafetz Chaim in his older years, he didn't go to look for a body of water. On the other hand, they say that the Stifler, even when he was older and it was difficult, would walk a long way to go find a body of water for Tashlich. But obviously, one has to know that the violence of the Chisroinus plays with a lot of the possible right very strongly against the social scene that comes with Tashlich and the problems that arise with that. And therefore, if they could be the battlers, they would. Therefore, people have to use their seichel. The minhag is not to do Tashlich on Shabbos, and therefore if the first day of Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, which it doesn't this year, then Tasha has said, the next day. And with that, we'll end it for here today. Take the opportunity to thank everybody for participating, for listening, and this last year that we've had. And in Eretz Hashem, we'll start with a bang after Yom Tov. And I wish everybody a Ksiva Tova. It should be a good Kedenshit year.
Amen. For all of us.
Ksiva Tova. Good Kedenshit year. To everybody.
Thank you.